The reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and can be found on page 1180 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, my brothers, you who I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Good morning, St. Paul's. Good morning if you're with us for the first time today. My name is Adam. I am the vicar of St. Paul's Church. It's my pleasure to be speaking to you this morning from Philippians chapter 4. Before we go any further, though, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and that you speak through it. So, Father, we pray this morning as we look at it together, that you would take my tumbling words, Lord, and that you would speak in power to our hearts of your love, your grace, and your mercy for us and for those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go any further, I do have to say, I don't want to offend anyone. I was wearing a poppy when I arrived this morning. My son has subsequently picked it while I was holding him during the songs. So now I have just a green bit, but I will resurrect it before this evening, I promise. We've been looking over the last few weeks at new things, new relationships, new resources today. We had a new vicar, apparently, about a month ago. These things happen in your lives. And we've got two more weeks, today and next week, to look at the book of Philippians and think about what it means to have Jesus in our lives and the new things that he brings us. And today, as I said, we're thinking about new resources. And today's big idea is this, that all that we need for life can be found in Jesus. That's what we mean by new resources, that all that we need for life can be found in Jesus, but we just need to look for it. Life is complicated, isn't it? Often reading the Bible is complicated. Well done, Amanda, for getting Euodia and Syntyche's name right. I do sometimes wonder whether their conflict was based on how to pronounce each other's name. Well, we don't really know what their conflict was about, but we hear in this letter from Paul, just one of those very personal moments when Paul turns to two women whom he loves, who he's spent time with, who he's treasured ministering alongside, and he pleads with them personally to put aside their differences and to be united in the Lord. And I think it's interesting on this Remembrance Sunday that we see in the Bible, in the early church, in that vibrant time where we can often romanticize what it meant to be a Christian and to be church, that actually conflict and fighting was present even then. I thought it was brilliant the way that Glyn led us in prayer this morning and reminded us actually that the global situation, the fact that nations fight against nation is actually just a replica, an amplification of actually the way in which we live each of our own lives. The way when we put ourselves before others, our desires, our greed, our selfishness, that actually we can live in conflict with our own families and with our own friends, with our neighbours. And what one of the things Paul wants to say to the church in Philippi today is you don't have to live that way. There is another way. There are resources in the Lord that can help you to live another way. And we're going to be looking at just four of those very quickly this morning. The first that Paul suggests is to celebrate in the Lord always. The translation that we have in church says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul thinks it's so important. He says, again, I will say, rejoice. But actually, I like the word rejoice, but sometimes I feel that we can think that rejoicing is something kind of contemplative, maybe, that goes on deep inside us. And we can be rejoicing even when on the outside we're not really looking very happy at all. I quite like, if you look back at the word that Paul used, and maybe a better word for our culture, is celebrate. Celebrate in the Lord. All of the people around them in the church in Philippi, all the people who worshipped different gods, who worshipped the emperor, who celebrated the life of their city and the cities around them. This culture was a culture that knew how to celebrate. And Paul is saying, now that you're Christians, I still want you to celebrate, but I want you to celebrate in the Lord. I want you to enjoy being a Christian. I want you to enjoy gathering together. I want you to enjoy worshiping me and listening to my word. There is a time and a place for our worship to be thoughtful and somber. But there is also a time for us to celebrate when we gather together as God's people and remember that he rose from the dead for each one of us, that we might live with him in this life and the next. So, let's remember to celebrate. Oh, one thing I was going to say. Tangent. Are we all on tangent land now? Good. It's very easy when you read passages like this to think like Paul, read it like Paul is wagging his finger at you. Now, celebrate. Remember to rejoice. Do as you're told. That is not what he's saying. He's encouraging. He's exhorting. He's saying, if you want life with the Lord to be to walk with him and to be with him and to celebrate, these are the things you can do. So all of the things I'm saying this morning, please, please don't go away saying, well, the vicar told me to. The vicar is not telling you to. The vicar is saying, these are some things you might do, you could try if you want to. And they're things that actually some of us will find very easy, some of them, and some of us will find very hard. And that's one of the great things about being church together, is that we can actually lift one another up in the places that we find difficult and share with one another. Okay, tangent over. Back to the 4 points. I'm not telling you off. The second suggestion that Paul has, if you want to live a life full of the resources of God, is that in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I think this is one of those things whereby often we can go, yeah, I know that, tick, move on to the next one. But I also think it's very easy for us, many of us, who live in Southwest London, who live in Kingston, to actually be very self-sufficient. To actually think we can do everything we need to do in our own strength. So we might say, oh yes, I know that verse. I memorized it when I was first a Christian, and I can read it back to you. But actually, we live our lives sometimes thinking, in everything, work hard for yourself. Don't bother other people, and certainly not Jesus, because you'll be able to do it, you're resourceful, and you're clever. That's not what Paul is encouraging us to do this morning. Yes, many of us are resourceful. Many of us are clever. Those are gifts that God has given us. But even in those things, in everything, Paul is encouraging us by prayer and supplications. That's a big word, isn't it? That's like asking for stuff. Requests. By prayer and requests, with thanksgiving, with gratefulness, let our requests be known to God. We had a little example of this in our house yesterday, and there were two situations. One happened in the morning and one happened in the evening. I'm not God, but in this case, for the point of this example, I do take the role of father. Use your imaginations, people. It's possible. One of my dear children, on Friday, collected lots of leaves that had fallen as we went for a walk in the Surrey Hills. It was beautiful. They collected all of these leaves, and they wanted to do some art with them. So on Saturday morning, sure enough, the paint was got out, the pens were got out, the paper was got out, the glue was got out. But in his foolishness, the father in this story, as he'd finished his week's work on Thursday night, after a long but very encouraging meeting, he'd just left his work things on the dining room table. Yes, some of you know where we're going with this. So sure enough, I was upstairs in my study, and a little person walked in and kind of went, "Daddy, something's happened to your workbook. I'm really sorry. I was going to rip out the pages and put them in the bin. But I decided instead to come to you and to show you." And I was like, "Thank you so much. Thanks for not ripping out the notes from my meeting on Thursday night, and because you could have done that and the book would have looked lovely and clean and it would have all been sorted. But actually you came to me and you told me what had happened and we can sort it out together." That was good. I haven't got time for the second example. Suffice to say, it didn't go quite so well and ended up with shampoo everywhere. But I think we've made the point with the first one, haven't we? That actually, we might have the resources ourselves, but when we come to God, it can be so much, so much better. The third of the things that Paul encourages us to do is what I like to call the whatevers. The whatevers are honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, think of these things. For me, again, this is one of those things. I've had this Bible passage quoted at me with fingers wagging. I haven't always been a Christian, and I have a very eclectic, a very wide and differing taste in music. If you come around to my house, which hopefully many of you will do at some point, you're all invited, maybe not at the same time. It's big, but it ain't that big. You'll see my music collection, and there is everything from, there is some classical. I couldn't name any of it. It's the one that goes da-da-da-da-da-da. But then there's also some Christian music, some worship music. There's also a little bit of Eminem. There's a little bit of rock. There's a little bit of this and that. And I have in the past have people gone, Do you really think you should be listening to that? Didn't the Apostle Paul tell us, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing? They did use that voice, I promise. Whatever is commend. Do you think these things are honourable, just, and pure? Eminem? Some of you don't know who Eminem is. If you're too young to know who Eminem is, please ask your neighbour afterwards. It's classical music of a sort from the late 90s, early millennium. It's fine. He had some personal difficulties. You're too young, are you, Fiona? Yes, good. Well, Caroline will tell you later. Don't distract me. This is important. That's a way this passage is often read, and I don't think that's the way that Paul intended it. I think Paul intended it to be connected to the other passages that are around it. I think he intended Euodia and Syntyche to read this and to think about it. And instead of focusing on whatever is annoying and whatever is frustrating, whatever is rude and whatever is unkind in someone else, he's encouraging them to focus on whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. What a different world we would live in if we thought the best of one another. How different international relations would be if we focused on the good in one another, not just the things that annoyed us or wound us up or frustrated us. And I think Paul is saying here, actually, if you want to live in love and harmony with one another, one thing you can do, in the knowledge that God has created each one of us, and there is good in each one of us, focus on those things. Give thanks for them. Encourage them. Look at them. And then you'll give thanks for those people and those things, and you can live in a new relationship with them. Finally, he encourages them to keep doing the things that you have learned. It's so easy. I don't know how long you've been a Christian. Maybe some of you aren't yet Christians. But when I became a Christian, I was full of enthusiasm. I would go to every single prayer meeting, every single Bible study, every single home group, every single service, and I wanted to be at all of them. And there could never be a boring sermon. Could you imagine such a world? But when I first became a Christian, that's how I felt about my relationship with God and with his church. But it's so easy, isn't it, for things to become normal, to things to become just life. I was reading a book this week. I'll tell you, because actually that's quite phenomenal. I'm dyslexic and I don't read very often. But in this book, the author was trying to encourage us as Christians to just think about how amazing it is what we have. Because if you're a Christian in this room, then you have a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. He that had the power to throw the stars into space, to the imagination to create all of the animals and the plants and the trees. He has called you by name. He has called each of us because he wants to have a relationship with us. Not only has he called us, but he's done everything necessary in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus for that to be possible. Even though we each turn away from him, we all do things we know that we shouldn't. We do things that hurt him, ourselves, and one another, and all of his creation. Even though that he loved us so much that he made a way. It can be so easy when you've been walking a Christian life for some time to start to take these things for granted. But actually, Paul's encouragement to the people of Philippi, the church there, is keep going. Keep doing the things that you've learned. Keep thinking about the things you've received and heard, the things you've seen others do. Paul actually says, the things you've heard and received from me, keep doing them. I nearly wagged my finger at you, didn't I? I apologize. Stop me doing that. If we want to live in relationship with God in a deeper and a more intimate way, then we can carry on doing the things that he's put before us. We can spend time with his church. We can gather in home groups and grow in relationships. We can also look to other Christians. Paul encourages the Christians in Philippi to look to him and to follow his example. Whose example do you follow? Was there a person when you first became a Christian who you thought and looked up to? Who do you look up to now? And more important than that, who are you bringing forward? The life of Christian discipleship is two ways. That we are being discipled by others, and we, in return, are discipling as well. So one question I have for each of us this morning is, who are we discipling? Who are we bringing up in the faith? Who are we spending time with, listening to, and praying with? I have the privilege of doing that with many people, and one of the most amazing things I find is how much I learn when I am spending time with other people, with new Christians who have the same enthusiasm I used to have, who still believe there is a world without a boring sermon. On that note, we should bring this one to a close, shouldn't we? This morning's big idea was this: that all we need for life can be found in Jesus. He has the resources that you are looking for. He has the resources that you are looking for. He knows the issues and the problems and the obstacles in your life. And he has what you need. Paul's encouragement to the church in Philippi is my encouragement to you this morning, that we just need to go and look for it. Celebrate in the Lord always. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Look at all that is positive in one another and in God's creation, and keep doing the things that you have learnt. Amen.